Ah, Cardwiz, I am so happy we're finally going to be able to record the episode on Echoes. As you know, it's my favorite 3DS title. I have super detailed notes. I think that this episode is going to be by far one of our best. So are you ready?
Drop everything, Ordo! Wave 4 DLC trailer just dropped, baby!
Dang it! Welcome to the Emerald Support Podcast. I am a fell dragon, Ordo, and he, unfortunately, is my defective twin, Cardwiz.
Build an army. Trust no one. Except for us, this is the Emblem Support Podcast, and my good friend Ordo, before we begin to analyze the Wave 4 trailer, which just dropped quite recently, sorry, Fire Emblem Echoes, I must ask you, what have you been playing recently?
This actually may be a surprise to you, seeing as I slander it all the time, but I actually played through Metroid Fusion for the first time ever, a complete playthrough.
Ooh, yes, that did just drop on the Nintendo Switch Game Boy Advance service.
Yeah, the thing that I've always said is that I love Metroid Fusion. It plays really well. I just never beat it. And this time I actually sat down, I beat it. It's a very enjoyable game. I like it much better than Super Metroid. I'm about to commit gaming blasphemy here, but I actually hate Super Metroid. I think it's a bad game.
Whoa. Oh, yeah. Okay. We just lost all the fans. We just lost everyone who liked us.
No, well, Metroid doesn't sell that much, so it doesn't have any fans in the first place. Boom! Okay, wait. Well, come back. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just, you know, it's the opening bit. I'm trying to. But yeah, I played through it. It's really good. My favorite thing about it is that because you're on the Game Boy Advance, you have less buttons, which means a better simplified control scheme. I like the atmosphere. I like the fusion suit. I think that's really cool. But I found something that really gets on my nerves, and it's the actual logo for the game. For some reason, I was just sitting there, and I was just looking at the part that just says Metroid, and it looks weirdly cartoony, and I don't know why. I was just like, I really hate this logo.
Yeah, I started up the game, and I don't love the art style. The art style does, like you said, have a cartoony look to it. And I don't like the idea of a cartoony look for Metroid. It doesn't feel right. It makes it feel more kiddie than it actually should feel. Because, like, even the first Metroid on the NES, it feels like you're having this grand adventure in space, this mature action game on the Nintendo. And Super Metroid continues that feel. And then you've got Metroid Fusion on the GBA, and it just felt like, while it does have, like, some kind of creepy themes to it, like that possessed suit that's following you around, like, it still feels, with its art style, more cartoony-like, and I don't love it for that.
Yeah, it's really weird. Like, as much as I don't like Metroid, sorry, as much as I don't like Super Metroid, like, I feel like it nails everything. The art style, the music's more memorable. I probably couldn't tell you anything about the music from Super Metroid, or from Metroid Fusion. Again, it's a good game. I beat it in about 4 hours and 27 minutes, so it's a quick play. Fun game, fun time. Oh, wait, I forgot. I was also playing, let me look over my systems right quick. My mind just drew a blank. I'm still on Ace Attorney. A great Ace Attorney. I'm on case 4 of the second game still.
Oh, you've gotten to twists then. Oh, no.
I've taken a break in, like, the middle of the case. The first part where it says to be continued, because I just feel like I haven't had a day for me to sit down and just, like, be completely focused in on it. And I needed a break from all the dialogue, because it's a ton of dialogue. So, yeah.
The Great Ace Attorney Chronicles is so good. If you enjoy visual novels in any form, I cannot recommend that game enough. It is so much fun. It is the best story that Capcom has ever told in a visual novel form.
So, and hey, we're in the dying days of the Nintendo 3DS eShop, so last time that I saw, like, all the Ace Attorney games, including, like, the trilogy, was just, like, $2.99. And I know some people are like, well, it's on PC, it's on PS4, it's on Xbox, it's on the console, or it's on the Switch, but to get these games at $2.99, it's a steal.
Speaking of visual novels, I have purchased myself a visual novel for myself. the very first in the science adventure series, I have gotten myself Chaos Head Noah.
Oh, is that from whatchamacallit? Steins Gate?
Yes, Steins Gate is a part of the like science adventure series. I think it's the second game in the series. The first game is Chaos Head Noah. And I also bought Chaos Child, which is, I think, the fourth game of the series. But I have not dug into that yet. And dear Lord, Chaos Head Noah, it has one of the most unlikable protagonists I've ever experienced in a game. Just the, with the straight up trope of like the I am shutting myself out from the world of Taku, sort of like my wife is this character from this video game. I'm only going to be playing video games all the time. I will only go to school so I don't fail, go twice a week. And they do things with this character and in this world, which is so amazing. Because this character is having delusions. And the thing is, you can control the delusions. I didn't realize this until like the 12th opportunity this popped up. But occasionally, like, the world around you like closes in into like a fisheye lens sort of thing. And it's just like, oh, this is weird. I bet this is going to mean something at some point. Turns out I just wasn't pushing the shoulder buttons when these came up, because at these points, you can either experience the story straight on as what's happening. You could turn it into a good delusion or a more positive delusion, or you could turn it into a negative delusion. First time I accidentally started a negative delusion, one of the characters summoned a sword and cut off another person's arm. And it's like, oh, yeah, that's a different branch than the normal school life I've been having.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm enjoying the twists and turns and like the insanity of the insanity of the science adventure series. If you've played any of them, is so wonderful. And it does have the problem which Steins Gate had, is that they will take things, they will take concepts which could probably be summarized very quickly and spend a lot of time with the characters and in the world describing every minute detail of this world that they are building. But in the end, I still feel it's worth it. And I feel like I am only scratching the surface of this game. I haven't reached an ending yet, because like Steins Gate, I'm assuming there are going to be multiple branch off endings, but I cannot wait to continue to explore this world with this unlikable character. I'm enjoying his journey to be like, wait, is he, what direction is he going to go in? What you learn more about it, like past traumas and figure out why he's like this, but it's like, where are we going to go with this character? I could see you going in a lot of directions. I can't wait to continue exploring that madness. The Science Adventure series is crazy. Like the newest one is coming out later this year. And like Code Apocalypse or something like that. I'm glad I'm getting into the series now. It is so crazy.
I know those games are on the PS4's story. They're usually on sale a bunch. And I've always kind of heard about them being like connected to Steins Gate or a part of that universe. I was like, I don't know. I've never actually played any of the games. I'm more familiar with the Steins Gate anime.
I still haven't finished the anime myself. I played the elite version of the regular Steins Gate. I loved it. I need to play Steins Gate Zero. I need to play the weird romantic dating sim spinoff. I need to play the other spinoffs. Like, it's a really cool universe, but I think I'm ready to fully dive deep into it.
Steins Gate Zero is the sequel anime, isn't it?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay, yeah, that's the season two. Wow, that goes hard. That's probably one of my favorite outros or endings in an anime. But I won't spoil it for those who want to watch it or play it.
As the Emblem Sport Podcast does, we do have Fire Emblem news to talk about. As we speak, literally the day we recorded this, sorry, Fire Emblem Echoes, the trailer for Wave 4 dropped. So we are going to do an analysis of that. But first, there was another wave that came out in between our last episode where we talked about Engage. Wave 3 drop. Dear Lord, they are dropping these on a monthly basis. They're doing it so consistently. I'm very hype about that. It is very considerate of them. They're making it so we can't just like drop the game and let it get cold while they work on the DLC. No, they had the game beat. They had the game completely finished, and they probably had all the DLC finished when they dropped it back in January, and they've just been consistently dropping it every month. Wave 2 was in February. Wave 3 in March, and Wave 4 is going to be in early April.
Yeah, it's crazy to think that they're going like this hard so quickly with the waves. I'm so used to like other games where it's just like okay, and then we're going to have the expansion. It's going to be like 10 years in the future. Good luck. Maybe you'll get a trailer or something. But no, as you said, they've been boom, 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 boom. Yeah, it's been really great.
Shout out to those Elden Ring fans who will get your DLC eventually.
No, we're not shouting out Elden Ring. No. I'm still salty from the Game Awards card was, how dare you?
Okay, I'm sorry. Xenoblade Chronicle 3 is true game of the year for you.
You almost made me have to grab the rant hat, but it's okay. I'll forgive you this time. At least give me the music. At least give me music.
But Wave 3 has dropped. It wasn't as... We didn't have as many emblem characters as we did in Wave 2. We only got two this time around. But we did get some other special features, which are worth digging into a little bit. We got the very quality of life improved feature of allowing you to inherit your skills from the arena. So you don't have to run into the ring chamber, wait for it to load, stare at your dirty rings because you're never going to clean them, and then go to the inherit skills page.
Oh, that is very nice. I still don't have the DLC. I'm waiting for, I guess it'll be April 4th for when the expansion comes out.
Luckily, I'm pretty sure the inherit skills thing is just a patch. It's not part of the actual, you had to purchase the DLC to get that feature.
Oh, okay. Yeah, good. That's nice then. Because I've been waiting to start my male Allure playthrough.
Another thing, which honestly, I'm not sure if it's part of the DLC or if it was just a part of a patch. Because Three Houses did the same thing. Each wave of DLC they released, they also released patch stuff, which added stuff to the base game, but was part of the DLC. It's freaking the pet sim. The petting stuff, and I need to find like a clear and concise patch notes between this is what's in the patch, this is what's in the DLC. But we also got the feature of the well. Now, what the well is you talk to the guy who runs the weapon shop, then he says, oh, I lost some weapons. You go to the well, you find his weapons, give them back to him, and he's like, wait a second. I dropped other weapons in that well. How did these come out?
What is this guy doing?
I don't know what he's doing, but after you do that, that is when the well unlocks, and you're able to put 5 items into the well, and combined, depending on how good these items are, you're either going to get either 1 star up to 5 stars. So if you put a bunch of like silver weapons in there, you'll end up potentially with a 5-star drop. So you go off and do a mission or whatever, you come back to the well, and oh my goodness, you got your 5-star drops. And some of these drops can include skill books, which are the books that help give you SP that were introduced in the Wave 2 drop. And you can also get very special weapons, including unique weapons, including the joke weapons. It's true. I managed to give my girl Etie the croissant bow she deserves.
I did see those. I saw one that was a croissant. I saw another one that I think was a chocolate, like a giant chocolate bar.
Yes, there's a giant chocolate bar sword. It is wonderful. One of the neat things about these weapons is that you can eat them in order to get health. It feels like a little bit of a waste to me, but you can use them as weapons. Sadly, you cannot upgrade them. I was planning on making it a +5 croissant bow for Etie to use at all times, but sadly, you cannot upgrade the joke weapons.
Oh, that stinks, man.
it breaks my heart. I hate it so much. Let me just get give me the ultimate buttery, pillowy croissant bow that we all deserve. Let me kill the fell dragon with pastry. I believe that's it for the side content that you got in this DLC drop. We got 2 more character releases. Of course, we already knew about them from the initial trailer. We got ourselves Veronica from Fire Emblem Heroes, and we got Crom/Robin from Fire Emblem Awakening. And of course, you had to go to some of their maps to do it, and oh my goodness, they are fun maps. Oh, I love these maps so much. Oh, I say again, Fire Emblem Engage is one of the best Fire Emblem games because it has the best map design in any Fire Emblem game. I still stand by that, and these maps just add to that, in my opinion. With the Crom map, you've got Crom and Robin up north of the map on a throne, and slowly they're starting to build reinforcements around them, but you can't get to them because there's a barrier in between you and them, and you have to see some crystals that happen to be glowing, so of course you destroy them. Turns out you have to destroy all three of them on the same turn, or else it doesn't work. So as you have to get your people in position to destroy all these crystals on the same turn, they're constantly building reinforcements to the north and starting to send reinforcements to the south. Ah, it is quite a fun time. Eventually destroy them all. Eventually destroy both Crom and Robin. You have to defeat them both. And Robin's going to be a coward and stay on his throne. Jerk.
He's royalty, man. Come on.
Yeah, yeah. He let Crom do all the dirty work.
Oh, that's strategy.
That is strategy. I did have fun conversations. I did have Lucina defeat both of them, so you can get that unique dialogue.
Oh, that's cool that she has dialogue with them. What is the actual, like, location that it's based on?
Location is based on, I think it's a map. It is a map from Fire Emblem Awakening, but I haven't played Fire Emblem Awakening in so long, I don't remember this map.
I'll take a shot. Is it the map from the opening where you fight Validar?
I think it is. It's just expanded out to be more northern and southern.
Okay, that's going to be the Dragon's Table, I think.
Yes, that sounds right.
Their mechanic work? Do they swap back and forth like the three houses, or are they just kind of basically, are they better than Ephraim and Erica?
They don't switch places. They are, Crom is the head of it, but Robin is sort of in the background doing his own thing. With what Crom is doing, he has some interesting skills. Like, his skills involved, if you initiate combat from a terrain that you get an avoid bonus on, your foe just can't counterattack, so you're just surprise attacking them.
Could you imagine if you had a character that was with Crom, and then you had like a character like Yunaka using Korin's like smokescreen?
Oh yeah. Like, those two would become a monster unit. Crom also comes with the Rally Spectrum ability, so you get that big buff to all of the stats to everyone within one or two spaces, depending on how leveled you are.
Rally Man is back, baby.
Heck yeah. He's super effective against people who are using swords. He just doesn't take as much damage against swords. Your crit is just stronger whenever you crit with someone.
Oh my gosh. Panette and Crom. Oh, yes. The gears are turning in my mind when I do my male playthrough of Engage.
He has a skill which would be good to use on someone who has the Lin ring, because Lin's ability to have her clones attack during chain attacks, he has an ability called Charm, which makes chain attack accuracy 90% instead of 80%.
Ooh, okay.
And Crom's special ability that he has, his unique ability, lets him use a superpowered Levin sword, which will basically convert, I believe, attack into magic damage. Yeah, the Giga Levin sword is what it's called.
Oh, so now he gets a Giga Levin sword. Once again, King Gangrel of Plagia, by the way, did nothing wrong. Imran jumped on her own, is being robbed of his weapon. Embarrassing. Hate to see it.
Well, the thing that Robin does really add to Crom with is that once you have, if you're initiating combat with the Crom ring, then you just have plus 10 magic.
Oh.
Yeah, so when I tried to use this ring, I tried to equip it to someone who had next to no magic, and that was not the right move. It still needs to be equipped to someone who has good strength and probably at least minimum okay magic, because I tried to do it with Boucheron, who has, at his like 50th level I've had him with, has 2 magic points. But so he still wasn't that effective with the magic as I wished he was.
I'm trying to think who you would actually put them with if you wanted to get both that has good magic and strength, but no one's jumping off the page to me right now. It's been a little bit since I played Engage too.
Well, it's probably good for a Leer, good for like a Chloe, good for like a Fromm, or the other twin.
Clan.
Yeah, probably good for Clan too. Mavier, of course. Mavier would kill with that ring.
I have made a decree. We are no longer calling him Mavier. He is now the Mav Avenger.
Hey, Arnold, I believe that is a fitting description of roundabout of what Crom brings to the table. And oh my goodness, that's going to be a fun one to take advantage of. But not only did we get to have Crom, we also get to recruit Veronica. Her map was a slight pain because I did not prepare properly. You only get 8 units and you're split into 4 on the left and right side of the map. So hopefully you have some people who can heal, good balance on each side. Or else you're going to be a little bit of trouble.
8 people? That's too much for heroes. Please, give me 4.
Only 4 at a time, yes. Her map is fun because it's like a bunch of flying islands, but you have to get each side to land on a certain spot in order to bring all the islands together. But as you're bringing the islands together, Veronica is occasionally just mass summoning a bunch of units to the south to chase after you.
It's gotta be so funny for intelligence systems to be like, yeah, we designed this game for maybe like Alphonse or Shirena to be like the most popular one, but it turned out it was the villain who actually can't summon in her game.
One of the best things about hers is that her map is unlike any of the other emblem maps, in which all of the other emblem maps are like, yeah, prove your strength to me and then we can team up. Hers is like, I will defeat you and you will be my summon. Okay. Have to defeat this lady.
Oh, wait. Yeah, that's right. She does summon in book one. Cause she ends up forming bonds and contracts with like, the heroes from book one before you do that. Yeah. That's okay. Yeah. That's what that is. Book one was like 6 years ago. So I forgot.
Another weird thing about her map is that it introduces like a new character weapon. Her enemy basically has a magical cannon that it carries around with him, which is basically a mobile ballista. But
yeah, I did see that. And I was like, what is that thing?
It would probably be very good and very powerful. Unfortunately, I just sent Ivy with Soren, my favorite pairing, to just bolt and counter it. And that just won.
Oh
yeah.
Nice.
My favorite combo in this map is still Soren with Ivy, just hanging out with the dancer so I could bolting forever. It's just too much fun for me.
Seems like you cheated.
Oh, I love to cheat. Yes. Soren has the power to cheat. That's why Soren is one of the best. In future playthroughs of this game, I think Veronica is definitely going to want to be one of the first people you recruit once the paralogs open up, because one of her skills is called SP conversion, in which it's a very cheap skill. It's only 300 SP. But once you equip it, you get 20 SP for every foe you defeat.
Oh, yo. Okay. I'm with that.
Yeah, that becomes an instant. Okay, everyone needs to get this as early as possible so we can actually afford to get some of these 6,000 cost SP items.
I'm so starved for SP.
I know. I'm so glad Wave 2 introduced like the books that can give you SP, but still, just thank you for giving me more ways to get SP. It fixes some of the balance issues, but it still feels like this shouldn't be DLC. This should not be DLC.
So how does her summon ability work?
It is her special ability. So she summons and all of a sudden you have a new unit on the map. And I haven't had this experience myself, but she can also summon herself apparently.
Okay.
But she can be a decent combat unit because she comes with a magic spell and a staff, which attacks. So she introduces attack staffs. Thank you very much, Fire Emblem Heroes.
Yeesh.
And she's also got some nasty skills too. She's got an ability where if her HP is not full, it adds 30% or 50% of the lost HP to her attack.
Oh, that's vengeance from Awakening. Yes.
So when you get to a character who has a lot of HP that you can just let tank some damage, it's going to get nasty.
Panette. Oh, wait, no, she can't really tank that well, actually.
She just has an ability where once she defeats an opponent, she gains +1 level for that map up to 3 times. So she has that Roy ability from when he engages.
I was about to say Louie, but Louie's not a magic person. Maybe no. Chloe.
She does increase magic and dex. That's the stat bonuses you get from her.
The gears are really turning in my mind.
Oh, yes. You can do some fun things with her, I bet.
I'm looking at the Switch. I'm looking at the Switch right now. Maybe I should just...
I just plug it in. It could possibly go wrong. Just
maybe I should go ahead and drop that 30 right now. Go ahead and buy that expansion pass, you know?
Also, she has an ability called Contract, and what she can just dance, basically, for an opponent. Just allows... It's not really a dance. It only allows them to attack again. You cannot move. So that's a nice little additional ability.
So overall, given these emblems, these emblem bracelets, I guess so far with the Wave 3 DLC, like, are you pleased with them?
I am pleased with them. I am loving how all of these emblems have worked out. I love what they add to the game. I love their abilities. I love the maps we got them on. It is just fantastic. And it makes me wish we had more, but it's like, we've got enough. We've got like 19 total now in the game. And you can only take up to 14 into the late game map. So fine, I guess it's enough. But man, I just want more from this game. But if only there was some sort of DLC which would allow us to have new characters join our party. Oh man, that'd be so much fun, because then there'd be even more experimenting. But alas, I can't imagine such a thing happening.
Hold it!
What?
As you can see right here in the evidence, there is now Wave 4.
Wave 4 is coming. The Fail Xenolog is almost here. And we have your trailer analysis that we can talk about, because there was a whole lot in this trailer.
Yeah, the trailer's only like 2 minutes long. And it was so funny because I was at work today. It was about 11 o'clock-ish. And you just sent me a message. You're like, okay, we're going to do a new topic. I was just like, no, please. Fire Emblem Echoes, please. Please, no. But yeah, like 2 minutes and 23 seconds. Brand new trailer, brand new characters, brand new scenario. Apparently there's a mirror world. But Cardwell, you're much better than doing like trailer analysis stuff. So I'm gonna let you lead, and I'll pipe in when we need to.
We open up on a gravesite. It is the resting place of the Divine Dragon. It's our grave, we are told.
I actually found that interesting, because when they said it's the grave of the Divine Dragon, I was like, oh, Sulumera's dead in this too. But then they said it was your grave. I was like, oh. And something that it did confuse me at once is that the next little part where they're about to speak. See, I've only played this game with female Allyr, and this is clearly male Allyr's trailer. So I was just like, who is this speaking? Really threw me off.
We get little sneak peeks of all of the nations, and especially we get a look at the Somniel, and the Somniel seems to be in ruin. Oh no! What has happened? What has occurred?
Is Somni okay? Where's Somni?
We do not see Somni in this trailer, it is worth noting.
Where is he?
If anyone has hurt him, we will destroy. We are introduced to two twin fell dragons, Nil and Nell. We learn a little bit more about them later, but we get a good look at them. We got Nell, the woman who is wearing blue and black hair, and Nil is guy with pink and white with a giant red ruby in his chest with white hair. I enjoy the looks of these. Their clothes kind of look like the Maryland state flag, weirdly enough. That's the first thing I think of when I look at this.
I was getting like maybe like some Allyr and Vel vibes from them, especially from the one with the white hair. I'm gonna mess up their names constantly. I believe that one's Nil.
Yes, I believe the guy is Nil with the white hair.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought he was very much sort of an allegory for Vel. Oh.
Okay. Do you have a theory? Do you have a theory? A game theory?
One of them is, yeah, this just came to me because I have no notes because we're going off the cuff with this, but one of them has white hair. One of them has black hair, but Vel has both colors of hair. Maybe they, maybe at one point they fused together to make a fusion dragon? No. Yeah.
Who knows? It wouldn't be the craziest thing that's happened in Fire Emblem, so it's possible. They talk about us being reborn, so it's just like, why were we reborn? Are we dead? Were we? What's going on? I'm sure they'll explain this later, but
yeah, it also made me question that. And I think something else in the trailer actually solved this, because I'm thinking that, like, because they say, like you said, oh, they've been reborn again. Okay, I've been reborn. Does that mean I am a different Aaliyah from before? Like, I'm not the Aaliyah from what we'll call the original timeline? Who knows?
We get a still shot of Nil with his chest thing glowing, standing beside, presumably, his sister, who has turned into a blue version of the Fel Dragon. No longer a purple cobra, we get a nice dark blue purple cobra thing.
Really great looking artwork here, too.
We get a look to see them in combat. We get to see Nil with some sort of weird lance. We get to see Nil with a giant weird sword. Weird axe. So it's possible that those are some new classes that we'll get to work out with those two. We'll probably be able to reclass into them once we beat the game. And then it gets kind of weird and interesting. It shows the royals from the Four Nations, and it shows us fighting them. It talks about the seven bracelets, which were the emblems from the DLC, and how we have three of the bracelets, presumably, and four of them are spread out between the Four Nations. So I think we're going to go out, have to collect bracelets by defeating the royals, because in this world, they're evil-ish. We know they have different personalities because they show Alcrest being a outright jerk to his brother, and Alcrest would never be a mean boy like that. Our Alcrest is precious.
By the way, Alfred, this is probably like the first time I'm like, okay, Alfred actually looks cool here. but unfortunately, prime timeline, Alfred has committed crimes of being boring. So I'm coming for you, evil Alfred. I'm coming for you.
Good boy Alfred is being a good boy on my bench.
Yep.
So we shall be crossing blades with our allies. But in this world, no matter, even though it's a little weird, we still have access to the emblem rings, it seems, because we see our side using Celica. We see him using Sigurd. So we're still going to have access to that. It does raise the question in my mind. Is this going to be like Three Houses, the Wave 4 DLC, where it was its own separate campaign, or if this was going to branch off into the main story? I'm going to assume it's going to be like Three Houses and it's going to be its own separate thing, but who knows? We'll figure this out when it comes.
I have heard a couple of things from the Japanese translation of the website. We'll get to that probably I'll just go ahead and say it right now, but it seems like after you play this, you can actually recruit the characters that are exclusive, who we'll talk about soon.
Yes, we'll talk about those units right now, because we will have four new units who will be able to join us. Kind of four new units. The four winds, four knights who were established after the war, who were there to protect Nil and Nell. These units are Zelestia, Gregory, and Madeline. And also, for some reason, Mauviere is there too. Wait a second. Four winds? Four hounds? That Zeph, you can't trick me, I know you. We're going to have access to the four hounds.
Are you sure those are the four hounds? They look way different.
I know, Marnie looks a little blue armory, Gris looks kind of weird without his tattoos and piercings, and Zephia, I actually didn't notice the difference between Zephia and Zelestia, but I'm sure there is a difference there.
Zephia, the little, ribbons and stuff on her hair, or her horns, whatever, I think they're, pink or, a dark red, and this, they're, gold.
Okay.
And I think even, the lower parts of her dress also seem to have, some gold flourishes on them. The one that I couldn't tell that had any differences whatsoever is Mauviere. He even has the same name.
Mauviere is just a good boy no matter what universe he's in.
But yeah, after you beat the game, or after you beat this expansion, you can actually take those characters and put them into the main game.
I'm very excited about that. I'm sure there's got to be some good dialogue option, especially in the end game. Oh, I'm so excited for that. Yeah. So excited to experiment with that. soon after that, we do get a scene with Corrupted Tiki, and she's unlike all the other corrupted units that we've seen during the campaign. Corrupted Tiki seems to be able to talk and have her own mindset.
And when you listen to her talk, she actually sounds like she's struggling to talk, like she's like going against the grain. She's like, "My name is Tiki. Are you a divine dragon like me?"
Is she only able to talk because she is a divine dragon able to break through, or did someone not as strong as Sombron convert her so she might be able to fight back because of that? Is there someone who's just not quite as fell dragon strong as Sombron, the big bad in this? I think
that Tiki will probably be our quote unquote Marth for this, and that she'll be the one guiding us along the way, kind of like how Marth does in the main timeline.
I would imagine that would make sense, because we do know that our enemy lords do have access to the DLC emblems. You can see the enemy Hortensia actually is wielding Hector, although it's listed as ? She's using the wolf bale. And also we see Fagato wielding Veronica, because he is wielding the let me pronounce this super professionally, the Hilokishnef.
Yes.
Pretty sure I got that right perfectly. First try. Not only do we see these units with these emblems, we see who they're facing off with. And apparently, when we travel to this dimension, or however it's going to be happening, reincarnated, reborn, we also have our lords with us, because we see Hortensia fighting Hortensia and Fagato fighting Fagato.
It does make me wonder that, is it just going to be the royals that show up from our world, or we get all of our other characters too? Because if I have to leave Yunaka behind, I'm going to be upset.
We at least see Marin. That's the one character I noted who was on our side.
Oh, yeah, right.
It might be a selection. It might be like the Three Houses DLC, where it's just like, okay, you've got the three lords, and you've also got Ash here, and Hilda, and Linhart? Yeah, Linhart. Or was it Kaspar? It was Linhart.
Yeah.
So maybe it'll be a random assortment of units we have access to, or maybe we'll have them all. We'll figure that out in just a few weeks, because it's coming out soon. It's coming out on April the 5th.
Oh, it's yeah, it's just like I said, they're just hitting this DLC like crazy. In my mind, I'm just like, why is the Xenoblade thing here yet?
Yes. At the end, they promote that we're going to have access to the new characters, locations, and maps. The characters we've already assumed that it's going to be six of them, the two twins and the four winds, all. Or the three wins, kind of. We'll talk about it more later. And we have added class types. Now, the added class types could be the two fell dragon lords there, who are wielding their spear and their axe. Or it could be we just have access to the fell dragon class from now on, because we get to see Nell turn into the fell dragon on the field and attack.
Oh no! I saw this on the Japanese Twitter. One of them is that magic cannon class.
Oh, awesome! Fantastic! Oh, who's gonna get that?
The other one is, it's some kind of new class. I don't know what it is. They had, I think the picture they had is Boucheron was holding the magic cannon. Which Boucheron? Why? And Yunaka had the other class, which I'm not really sure what it is.
To Twitter, because I don't want to leave it off like this.
Yeah, just look up the Emblem Support Podcast Twitter, which you can find at Emblem Supports, because I think I retweeted it.
This is done through a Google Translate via Twitter, but one of the classes is called Daughter of the Evil Dragon. A person who inherited the blood of an evil dragon, wields a spear, transforms into a dragon with a dragonstone, and fights. That might just be unique to Nell, but who knows? If I have the ability to turn Boucheron into a dragon, I will use it.
Dragon King Boucheron. Let's go, baby.
As it should be. Nil's special class seems to be, again, this is through the translation, Evil Dragon Noko, a person who inherited the blood of the evil dragon, but not suitable for combat, but wields an axe for peace. That was all the class information I was able to find through a quick Google search. But I'm sure we'll add two more, because the Three Houses DLC added four unique classes. So I don't see why they wouldn't add four unique classes for this.
Yeah, so there's the two I mentioned, then the two Fel Dragon classes, I guess. But those two Fel Dragon classes will probably just be unique to them. I think the question is, though, will Allyr be able to use the other Allyr, if there is another Allyr's Dragonstone? Because all through the game, they tell you, Allyr's a dragon, Allyr's a dragon, Allyr's a dragon. I've never seen Allyr's dragon form.
I'm sure we'll get access. We've got to be able to turn into a dragon. It's got to happen. For what we know at this point about the Wave 4, I think that just about covers it. Once the DLC comes out on April 5th and we get the chance to play through it, we'll absolutely come up with another episode in which we sort of break down what happens in that, in whatever happens in that crazy world.
Yeah, it also appears, I think, it also appears that Allyr gets stabbed by someone at the very end.
Yeah, dang it, Allyr. Because
the screen cuts to black. Yeah, and then what happens is that the screen actually, they didn't show you this. They only showed me this, and I'm dropping this right now as an Emblem Support podcast exclusive. Because, you know, I was talking with Intelligent Systems and Nintendo, and my boy, you may have heard of his name, Masahiro Sakurai, was there also at this meeting. The camera fades back in, and he's been stabbed by Marth. And he goes, "No, you." And then Marth looks down at him, and a letter falls with the Smash logo on it. Smash, new Smash game, guys. Allyr's in Smash. Sorry, I wish I could show you, but I'm on a NDA and I've already broken it. And oh god, they're heading for me. They're coming for me. Card Wiz. I gotta go.
And that wraps up this episode of the Emblem Sport Podcast. You can find me on Twitter at KD Corley and on Twitch at twitch.tv/CardWiz. And as Ordo runs away, where can they find you?
You can find me at...
Well, he's gone. Look up Plan Ordo on Twitter and twitch.tv/Ordo. As well as at Emblem Supports on Twitter. And with all that said, chapter complete.